To try to help people understand that it's not made up. God systematically designed everything to work a specific way, and we just have to adapt to his design. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you. Amen, for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this opportunity, for being obedient unto the death of the cross, and then being resurrected. We thank you for it right now. Father God, we ask, we thank you, Holy Ghost, for being our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our friend. Amen. Being there when we need you the most. Father God, right now we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us right now. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance we have, you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Father God, right now we're asking that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer. Amen. To write upon the hearts of your people and even my own in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still talking about Seven Steps of Prayer Success as a rerun. But if you've been in the church a long time, you're going to encounter that. You know, I've said before that I believe it was Reader's Digest that set out to take all the duplication out of the Bible. And when they removed the duplication, they were left with 8 pages. And why? Because we're creatures of habit and we learn by repetition. And that is the primary objective of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told Moses that he was to teach. You know, I mean, God is a king, and he has a kingdom, and we are part of that kingdom. The deep part is we get to choose whether or not to be in that kingdom. And that's typical. I mean, if I was to leave this country and move to the next country, which would be, in my case, would be Canada, I'd have to adapt to Canadian laws and rules. What I know and the laws and the fists that I have as an American, there will probably be some of these laws, but then at the same time, there'll be some differences. For one, their highway speed limits are lower than ours, and therefore I'd have to drive slower, you know. I mean, and that's the whole nature. Whenever you're talking about being under a kingdom, you're talking about a cultural change, and that is typical. And this is the thing that a lot of people miss. When you come out of the world, come out of darkness into the marvelous light, you're engaging in cultural change. So you have to learn how that culture functions and what its objective is. You need to know, because the king in a kingdom, he sets down the laws, and they're not optional. You don't get to vote on them. You don't get to, you know, you can ask questions on how to carry him out. You might be able to persuade him to make some changes. And in God's case, I doubt that would happen. You know, he overlooked some things, because if he held us strictly according to his law, we'd be in deep trouble. Deep trouble. You know, I was thinking earlier today about Jesus and how he only said what the Father said, and he only did what he saw the Father do. And, you know, I don't think any of us can say that we do that, you know. So we began talking about this, and what's critical, and I guess it's a good reason, is because I'm sending this out to some people on the West Coast, because, you know, they are faced with some challenges, and in the Central America, I mean Middle America, they're faced with challenges that I normally don't encounter. Or, you know, and I honestly believe, and I can, it's hard to convince me otherwise because I've been over around this state, that we probably have the most, I would say, sincere, qualified praying people in the country. It is no accident. accident that a lot of things bypass us. See, there's one thing, one of the things that I found frequently, as I've said before, that a lot of people, they talk about praying, they believe in God, but they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So therefore, they're really in a predicament where God, even if he decide to answer their prayer, a demon or Satan has the authority to stop it. I mean, they're not entitled because they don't have a covenant. That's the number one rule. Everything else is null and void if you don't have the number one rule. And a lot of people think, you know, I saw a post on Facebook that said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And I know well, I ain't going to even try to figure why they posted that, but that is true. There are people sitting in churches that never asked Jesus to come into their heart. One pastor polled his people and found out half his congregation had never done that. They could have died and gone to hell over something as simple. They didn't sign the contract. It's a contract signed in blood, okay? So, you know, and it's critical. It's critical. I mean, a family, I led all my children in prayer of salvation, you know? I know at the time they probably didn't understand the depth of it, but you know what? I can remember. I know from my own experience that works. That gives God the legal authority to override Satan in a lot of areas, particularly when he's trying to take him out completely. Okay? Now, and so the number one was you must have a covenant with Jesus Christ. I mean, this is how this was set up. I mean, and you go back further, you go back to you go back to the book of Genesis when God started he initiated the first covenant. No, not the first one, but he initiated because he had a covenant with Noah. Bottom line is, when you talk about covenant, you're talking about God coming into agreement with man, and he's bringing more to the table than we are. We only bringing us, and he gave us. So we really ain't bringing nothing, you know, and that's pretty much what it boils down to. God wants us to give back to him what he gave us, you know. That's what humility is about. And it's amazing that I meet people, have talked to people recently that want to keep themselves to themselves, even though it has such gross limitations. You know, you can't give yourself eternal life. You might get 60, 70, 80, maybe, you know, but you ain't going to get no eternal life. You want eternal life, you have to get that access. You know, so let me try to stay on track here. But the bottom line is covenants is how God do businesses. And I'm putting together after this, unless the Lord change it, I will be teaching specifically on that area to help people understand. I know it sounds like religion, but see, outside of God is religion. That's the way I look at it. Where God is in complete control, it's called kingdom life, kingdom of God life. It's kingdom life. It's not religion. And this is, you know, Romans 1:20 said the invisible things of him from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of creation, are clearly seen, the invisible things of him. Okay, are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. And in this case, a government. If you look at how our government functions, that's how God's government functions, except for his is perfect, okay? His kingdom is within people on earth. He has not yet taken complete control of the earth. That's why we have all the drama. You know, that was a question that came up. Why would God allow all this misery? Well, he put man in charge, and if man don't want to do business the way God say do business, then they have to deal with the consequences. God got this. He got control. There's a limitation, you know. There's a limitation, you know. Hallelujah. He reigned in the heavens. But the point of life is for us to understand our capacity as beings. You know, I've been rereading this book, Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. It would be good for you to buy one and read it. You have to be patient and prayerful over it. You really do. But he focuses on the inward man. And what that is about. That's where I built up Training Day on what he's, once I reread it and grasped finally what he was talking about. You know, It's something, because we are tremendous creatures. Like I said, you know, I was thinking earlier today, but I've been looking at some things. Now, like I said, I'm atheist. It provoked me to think, but, I go to God, and he says some things that just, they can't argue with. They want logic. And then I said, well, tell me the logic of 150 million sperm enter into your mother's egg and come out with one you and not 150 million you, okay? And it came out with 200 different types of cells, types in a body, bones, brain, and all the various parts of our body in just one you, and you control it all, okay? And that's something awesome in and of itself, you know? Like I said, logic, throw that out the window. This is a faith world. All right, the number two is you must forgive. You must forgive. This God, we read about how the Lord your God has forgiven us. You can't get saved unless God forgive you. Okay, you can't have a covenant unless God forgive you. So forgive. But one of the key things that a lot of people are finding out is that forgiveness frees you. Okay, it's not an agreement with what they did. They're not getting away with it, because if they don't repent, it's going to be a hot time and old time forever. Okay, so they're not getting away with anything, but you don't want to block, particularly now, you don't want to block your ability to be blessed by the power of God. We control that part of the deal. You know, a lot of things, and I get it. I've heard preachers preach some things that almost laying everything at God's feet is his will. And I had to wonder, did they, one, read the Bible, two, ask God that question? I mean, James 1:5 said, any man lack wisdom, that's the right use of knowledge, let him ask of God. And I can't believe they asked God. Because you look at the complexity of the Bible, you don't see that. Someplace, everything had to line up. And if everything is God's will, then I shouldn't even be here, okay? I should have never fought cancer. I should have just said, that's God's will. He sent it. God didn't send that. If he sent it, Jesus lied. John 10:10 said the thief, a.k.a. Satan, come to steal, kill, and destroy. See, we don't, what it is people want to do it their way. They want a Burger King, not God, the King of Kings. See, God is, that's what's in the Bible. That's what teachers teach. That's what preachers preach. Some preachers preach. I pray for the ones that don't. I pray for both of them, but I pray for the ones that don't, that they get on board with God. Because this thing is about what God intended. I mean, think about it. I just saw, and I guess I must have remembered that, because I said that we come here as a blank slate, and I read that very statement in a book recently, you know, to be written on. And it was God's intention for us to live forever. It really was. This is plan AA. God don't have a B plan. He intended it for it to go in a process, in which if Adam had a way, Eve had a way, if they had taken accountability, acknowledge their sin, and just went on with the program, it would have been a different outcome. But they didn't, okay? Same thing with Satan. Once it was discovered that iniquity was in him, if he had pleaded with God, God would have probably forgave him. Why? Because even angels are not perfect. They err. The only person in existence that does not err is God. Figure that one out. Read 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay? Okay? So, but they, after they seen what happened to Satan, they got wise. And, okay, I messed up. I'm going to say, God, forgive me. I'll get it right. Okay? Because they ain't got no excuse. They can't say, well, I was tired and I was hungry. You know? But you do have to forgive. And again, because there's a lot of moving parts. One, people do things towards you, against you, because they're being manipulated by Satan. Once you forgive, you're in right standing with God, because he gave you righteousness. You want to maintain that so that you can access the power on their behalf. You know, you find in the book of Job that after it got down to the end of the last chapter, God had Job pray for his friends who had been making false accusations. They assumed his trouble in his life came from something he did. And that's something for some of you to ponder. You know, Paul, I believe it was in Timothy, when he wrote Timothy, he said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's not an if. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Why? Because you can't exercise the fruit of the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, without that. You don't even know they exist without that. And it's imperative that you know that. Remember, you're going to be a king and a priest ruling. Okay, kings and a priest and ruling, and you have to do it God's way. So you have to go through this training process. So you forgive. You can't practice what God calls sin. In other words, when you off track, you know, I hear a lot about missing the mark. I know it's not an attempt to simplify it, but it's under the assumption that you are trying to live right, trying to do right, and then Satan, your adversary, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can't devour you, he will bite you, you know, or gum you, and he ain't got no teeth. But anyway, the point of the matter is he'll distract you, you know, because there are many things that can happen in the daytime. And that's why you think about this. You take like an athlete out, you know, I see them do some moves and we all at that, but they didn't just come up with that just then. They practice those things, and they have to have a control of their spirit that controls their body in order for them to do those things. Okay? So it is the same thing. It's with training. It's with experience. You know, I've heard many people say, you know, God will keep you at a certain place till you pass that test, you know. And it's a process. Why? Because you're maintaining the order of power and you're maintaining your stand with God. He gave you a place. You know, I saw a movie once, and in the movie the teacher came in and gave everybody an A. But it was up to them to keep the A, so they had to work at it. And that's what God does. When he gives you righteousness, he's giving you an A. Now it's up to you to keep it. But again, he has written down what you are capable of. And he's demonstrated in the word what you are capable of. And because we are going to the next level, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's so mind-blowing that I think it's the very reason a lot of preachers haven't said a whole lot about it. Because most people can't even grasp the reality of a miracle. A miracle is the overthrowing of satanic power. That's the simplicity of it. You know, I saw one with this guy, an amputee, and his legs grew out, okay? So, you know, they debating that now. And then the folk been hollering, they want to see it, but also be aware that, you know, Satan can do some stuff, so you have to hear Jesus' name in the mix, okay? One thing Satan won't do is worship Jesus. He won't worship God, you know. That's the same thing about your visiting relatives that come see you in the night. Ask them to say the name of Jesus, and that'll let you know if it's a demon or not, or your relative. Anyway, okay, so you can't practice. And then, I mean, come on. Remember this statement. Everybody in the Bible never had a Bible but was held accountable for the Bible, by the Bible, okay? And that's because it's in the spirit of man. People know right from wrong. They do, except maybe babies. They try, they press the system, but grown folk know right from wrong, okay? It's in our hearts, and in our spirits. That's there. The Bible just give you a visual of what's in you spiritually, and then you have to comply with it. It basically, the Bible is almost, it's like with any court. It'll be used as evidence against you at your trial at the white throne judgment if you don't, you know, make the bema seat. Anyway, and again, like I said, now to do this, you have to be knowledgeable of the word. I mean, read the word. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost said, he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. When you are reading the word, he will bring the word back to you. Believe me, I've experienced that, I don't know, I ain't going to say millions of times, but thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times. But he does that. And there have been times recently, I was looking for a scripture, and he just verbatim quoted it, you know. Just gave me the exact scripture, you know. Like Luke 18:1, you know, recently. All right. And again, like I said, the purpose, the reason why Satan provokes sin is that it kills your faith, okay? You must, now we're back to where we ended up at, I believe, with the last two. It says you must control what come out of your mouth. Now, there's two sides to that, all right? You can, it says in Proverbs 18:21, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, I'll just stick to one side. Back in 2017, it was an oncologist, a urologist, told me that they found cancer on me. I'm like, okay. And the doctor like, okay. I'm like, yeah, I got it. And so he starts to proceed to tell me what their process is, a treatment and all that. And after he got through, I'm like, Doc, I ain't doing that. I've been to 5 funerals of people that did your process. I trust God. If it don't work, then I just go on to heaven. Because y'all, that stuff y'all talking about shooting radiation, they make bombs out of radiation. I just don't see that happening. And what's the purpose of faith if I'm not going to use it? I mean, God did everything for a reason. I think people instinctively know, just like I just said, we know right from wrong. They instinctively know where their stand is. They're not sure, because if you don't have that assurance, because faith is assurance, trust, confidence. If you don't have that confidence, you need to analyze why. You need to ask God specifically why. Because this thing works in every area of your life, not just... This is all the promises of God. What I'm giving you right now is directly connected to any promise God give you. You know, we'll get to it today, hopefully. But so when you're talking out your mouth, you're really exercising a gift that God wants to expose you to so that you will understand the power you have and how serious it is that you have to watch your mouth. You know, it took them a long time to learn not to call your kids names you don't want them to be. You call your children a bunch of idiots, they're going to be a bunch of idiots. And that's crucial, because what we say, that thing takes impact. And we have a lot of what's going on in the world, I'm sure God has a record, is because of people's mouths, you know. And on the other end, the lack of saying what needs to be said according to the word, but you, again, to confess, to pray, you know. You can't, don't pray for something and then say, well, I hope it works. That ain't faith. You know, and the local demon going to try to provoke you to speak against what you're praying. Don't pray for your spouse and then say, that dummy, he'll never be no good. You can't do that. You're canceling out what you pray about. You know, and again, there is some logic and reason in some things. You know, I know somebody that didn't have a job was believing God for a new car. Now, that's possible. But now, I'm going to tell you the key to that. You got to be in tune with God so that you can be where you need to be, doing what you need to do for him to provide a person that will buy you that car. Now, that's possible, because I know some people that go out and buy people cars. You know, they got it like that. Okay, just go out and buy them brand new cars, give them a year for insurance. That I know happens. But now there's a coordination of effect. And again, because you have to be in tune with God. You got to have that alignment. Now you got to really, that's what this is designed. Why? Because it comes back to a word called humility, humble, being submission to God. Again, I find a consistency with atheists. They don't want to be submissive to God. Who else had that mindset? I will be like the Most High. I will set my throne in the north. That's Satan. They got a God. They just don't want to acknowledge that he is their God. Ain't but two kingdoms, God's and the devil's. All right? But now you can, the smartest way is just get a job or a business. Actually, the best way is a business. Because then God said the limit is based on how hard and how much you want, okay? And if you expand, don't be the only one expanding in your business, you know? Believe God to expand your employees, too. If you're going to do God, you know? And that's where that is. I kind of wish I had it to all do all over again, but I'm looking forward to going forward, all right? But now you can any promise of God, and say all the promises of God are yes and amen. God said in Isaiah that he called his word back to him. So what you do is get a promise in scripture and you say it. Again, and the motivation behind that, give you one right now. The motivation behind that is it will create continuity. Well, anyway, God understand us. I'll put it like that. He knows that we need incentives. And so he provides them. Again, but that also establishes the relationship between him and us. Okay, look at Psalm 112. When you say that, I am a blessed man who fears the Lord, and I delight in his commands. My children will be mighty in the land, as a generation of the upright will be blessed. They will have wealth and riches in our house, and his righteousness endures forever. See, I learned something. This was early in my days, and the Lord was teaching me that, was to personalize the Psalms when I read them. You know, read them as though I wrote them. And I didn't even know at the time, I hadn't even heard. They were just starting to really teach confession. See, a lot of the things that we are teaching and learning now, things, especially you young new folk, some of you old new folk, we didn't even know that this wasn't taught. You look at some of the look at all the religions you have. If you visit some different churches, you will find that they have not, some of them have not evolved to some of the basic things that we now know. You know, there are people that still that still struggle with, they don't even know how to pray. They're still going, Our Father who art in heaven. You need a car. You need to be able to quote, to be able to state a promise of God. Matter of fact, let's deal with that, because I know you're gonna need some to know these things. I'm telling you, for what is coming. Even though we won't see it, the economy is going to eventually get so bad that a loaf of bread will cost you a day's wage. See, so anyway, with Paul here, now see this here, what a lot of people get wrong with this is they miss the part of how Paul arrived at this conclusion. And I'm reading Philippians, okay? And I want to read from verse 15, but it says, Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, reading from the NIV, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be accredited to your account. I have received full payment and even more, and I am amply supplied now that I have received of Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, what people miss is Now, understand, Jesus pointed out that the woman, the widow woman, they gave 2 mites, okay, which was a very, back then, in that day, would have been the portion of a penny, outgave the rich people. So it isn't the capacity, it isn't the number size. So don't get that twisted. It isn't the number size, but the most important part of any giving is the state of your heart, your spirit, your willingness, your wanting to do it out of love and to glorify God. That's what's more important. That's what's more important. That's what you see in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4 when the angel pointed out when it said that his Cornelius giving came up before God as a memorial. See, now, again, like I say, this the area, because this is a area to focus on. And again, but like I said, what you do is this, when you say this, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory of Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, okay? Now, that's telling me that I can believe God for God. See, I lay my hands on the car. When I got ready to buy a car, I said, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I believe you for a car because you're the God that supplies all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, I coordinated that with the need that I have. See, and God, he said, Lord, if you delight, you said, if I delight myself in you, you'll give me the desires in my heart. That's why I have a 74 Duster and a 440 cubic inch motor and 2 transmissions and a bunch of stuff in my garage right now. Okay, but then again, you have to do your part. Okay, you have to do your part. Now, and God will tell you what that is. You know, again, I'm just amazed at people that go to church all the time and never serve. Now, I know people. I just happen to belong to a large church. Okay, and it's just. Happen to have large people, you know, even some of them are professional athletes. But I come in and see them serving as usher. You know why? Because they know that what they have to do, everything to say, God, I love you. That's what Jesus calls. I call them the master commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay? And love your neighbors likewise. And that's the thing. That's the number. That's the motivator. Another motivator for keeping your life and watching your mouth, everything about your neighbors. So pray for them. You're the only one up. If they don't have Christ, amen, then you're the only one, you're the only priest in the neighborhood that can pray for them. I hope I got a lot on my mind, and I'm trying to keep it straight in this process here, but I'm trying to help you understand this, and we're just getting through here, all right? And I think this is where we stopped last week. You must be obedient and worship with tithe. You know, I want to read in Deuteronomy again because I want to see that coordination. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, you know, that was, if you read the whole chapter, I want to read verse 17 because that really stood out to me. Because, again, okay, as a matter of fact, we're on to read 16. Because I want you to see that there's a pattern because I'm seeing people talk about, you know, what is not being done. But I know from my own experience, okay, when I wasn't getting what the word said I should have, it wasn't on God's end. So I asked God, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? What am I not doing? What am I saying wrong? What am I not saying? You know, when I found out about how my lights go out, he said, you don't say nothing. And that's not a common thing that you would think. You know, I have authority to stop, amen, my lights from blacking out. Well, I do when it's abnormal. Anything abnormal is provoked by demonic spirits, and I have authority over them. I can only protect my grid. I can't protect yours unless you live in the same within my grid. But outside of that, so everybody is on it, each his own. But again, All this comes from, here it goes, God is telling them, the Lord in verse 16, Deuteronomy 26, 16. Now, mind you, this whole chapter is God teaching on worship tithe. See, tithe, you don't just throw your money in a book, in a bucket. You know, mine is, you know, Lord, in you I live and move and have my very being. All that I have from you, and I thank you, I believe you, that the windows of heaven are open up to me, and I receive the revelation that you shall send down to cause me to prosper so that I may be a benefit to your kingdom. Then I put my money in there. See, you don't have to shout it out loud. Don't nobody even have to hear you either, okay? Okay, I mean, you can, but, you know, in our church, every Sunday, we the whole congregation does just the same thing that goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Now, we haven't always done that. See, there's an evolution process. And when God give a revelation, you know, my pastor texted out with God to be sure, even though, it was the word. Everything we say is based on the word. And again, if a person is not receiving, I'm pretty sure it's not on God's end. Because, again, the whole point of life is for us to learn about our relationship with him, because doing it, when you go to the next level, my youngest brother just went to the next level. That's how I see it, okay? That's to the part where he can teleport, where he knows all things, okay? Can see, that can travel the universe. That's a different level of authority and power. That's tremendous power. That's awesome. And we're learning because God, and the only thing that's going to contain us to keep God from destroying us is we have to, learn how to walk in love. And that's it. That's really just, it's deep. But you see all that, how people fail at that right now. I don't care who the president of the United States, the Bible say pray for those in authority. Like I recently, I didn't always have a list of celebrities. I'm telling people we need to pray for celebrities, and it always start with me. God never tell me to tell anybody anything unless I'm being told first to do it. I'm like, so I made me a list. Because they got a lot of money. Money talks. That's just the reality. It's the spirit that moves things. All right. Deuteronomy 26:16 said, the Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, and that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will obey him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, that you are to keep all his commands. And he has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord, as he promised. That's why I know the new version of the Rolls Royce is waiting on me to get enough property so that I can buy one and park it, because right now it'd be too big for my driveway, and it really wouldn't fit in this area. That's along with the Corvette and the boat and all that stuff. But all things in all time. Of course, Jesus could come back and interrupt that, and I won't be upset at all. But so the point I'm trying to get right there, with that, I find that when you have some source of additional income opportunity, that it's easier for God to grow you than with a job. You know, it's a lot of moving parts, because he had to communicate with a whole lot of people, most of whom probably don't have a clue who he is. You know, just like Bill Gates trying to figure out why should he send Richard Overall a $10 million check. But the point of the matter is, it's just a reality. Not just a reality. It's if you, okay, like if I do Uber, I go out and I do, when I have to have an unction, I really do. I really do. But again, why? Because I'm going to minister to people. But I'll go out and in 3 hours, and make, you know, sometimes as much in 3 hours that normally you would make in a day. And I usually only try to make $100, just spending money and to be out the house, not be getting on my wife's nerves, you know. But in 3 hours, I'm going to make $200, $300. And because I minister to people, I be ministering to people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a person that knows people. I found myself ministering to a celebrity that I didn't know, you know, but I'm just sharing. I'm following the lead of the Spirit. You know, I enjoy $100 tips. They good. Take my wife to breakfast. Anyway, but the point of the matter is, this is the issue. If you get with God, you got, I'm going to throw this out. Let's just say, I'm not saying you should do this, not giving you no financial advice particularly, but this is, let's say you say a company like Alibaba that sell wholesale products from China, okay, and then you take them and you go to like what they say, Shopify, and you sell them. See, God can, the incentive is for you to prosper, but so then when the person on your job get on your nerve, you'll bite your tongue and pray for them because they don't know they're messing with you, they're messing with the Lord, and that's dangerous, particularly now. A lot of, it's sad. A lot of people don't know. Right now, messing with a Christian is more dangerous than it has ever been. So be conscious of that, Christians. Even if you're a Christian, you don't be messing, talking about, putting down, double-crossing a Christian. Because the judgment is swifter now than it has been. The worst thing it's got to be is to die and go to hell as a Christian, because the part of hell for Christians is hotter than it is for sinners. I ain't got time to get that to you in prayer, all right? Bottom line is, so if you're struggling in that area, you need to get with God, because he does everything. If he's going to open up the windows of heaven, think about that. He's not dropping money out of that. He ain't dropping no cars out. He ain't dropping no houses out. He operates within the realm that we have. Right now, God can't even drop out manna because it'd have to be passed by the FDA. See, so you have to be cognizant of all that goes on. But you can start all kind of businesses. My brother, remember when I first started years ago, I decided I was gonna get this debt down. So I started a lawn care company. Now in my little calculations, I thought I'd be making $300 a month, you know, and I figured by the end of the summer I might be up to $600-$700 a month. Man, I was at $2,000 a month by the next month, growing. One guy wanted to give me 150 customers paying $35 a head, a person. I couldn't get nobody to work for me, you know. But see, God had me one day. I was sitting down. I was so hot and tired. My tongue was literally sticking to the roof of my mouth. I had no work that hard. You know, hard work ain't bad. But I sat there and I'm like, I see what you're saying, Lord. See, whatsoever have, what does it say? Read Deuteronomy 28 and see what it say about that. It said, whatsoever your hand touch shall prosper. So I started finding other avenues that was a little out laborious, you know. But again, what all is entailed in that? He's the Lord my God. I follow his laws and decrees. Why? They keep me out of trouble anyway. Keep me in a place where Satan can't take me out. So most of God's laws are the same laws that everybody has to obey anyway. Okay? I mean, they are. Even the talking. You know, you can't go on your job calling people a bunch of names to be loved by everybody. They're not going to respect you as a Christian, and you're ineffective all the way around. You know, you're not likely to get promoted if you're a person that's creating havoc on the job. Okay? So it's really just, if you want common sense, read the Bible. That's the only place I find it at. All right. Shut to the bus side. All right. So we're going to start over. We're going to get to this next one. You must serve God in prayer. All right. Listen, saints. Nobody can intercede for the unsaved but Christians. Absolutely nobody. Only the body of Christ. Okay? James 4:17 said, him that knoweth to do right, to not do it, to them it is sin. Plain and simple. And it is equal to any other sin you could learn, you could name. Okay? And I think that's one of the reasons for the floods, the droughts, and all the other negativity that you see around, the increase in crime. You want to stop. Crime is promoted by who? Satan. Who can stop him but the saints of the Most High God? So if you're in Chicago, you need to organize a prayer group. And they need to be, they'll see, you will see if you will have, you, I guarantee you will have some impact. I guarantee, because therein is God glorified. But this silence of the lambs ain't going to work, folks. You're going to get slaughtered. Because we are, Satan knows there's only one group that can oppose him. I don't care. You can free yourself up into any religion, but they don't have power. That's the bottom line. Christ is not just Jesus' last, it isn't Jesus' last name. It is about the power of God that has been given to man, the restoration of the power, the anointing, that Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. We are here to serve God. And what am I telling God when I don't serve him? He's not asking you to take all 8 hours of your day to do this. But you have opportunity. You have opportunity. Become, the more you apply yourself to this, the more God will reveal it to you what you can do. Your job. You're the one. You should organize. You know, the last big pay raise I got at Wayne County, you got to understand, when you work for the government, they can't get blessed unless the public get blessed first. So when you go to God, now I actually posted on my job to what I was doing, what I wanted the Christians to do, and even the non-Christians. One of the things I had on there was, don't say anything negative against the success of this contract, okay? Even if you just hold your mouth, all right? This was around 1996, somewhere in that area, I think. We didn't get many contracts. But the reason we didn't get it, again, the Lord said, this is what you need to do. See, and there's a lot of moving parts. I knew some saints that I just believe they live right enough, and we did get the blessing. But again, so that illustrated. But again, we carry a lot of power. So when the government is not prospering, guess who God gonna hold accountable? Not the government. They cannot stop the prince of the power there. They cannot stop Satan. We are the only ones that have that ability. That's why we are told to pray for those in authority. We are the only ones. Again, what has to occur? We have to stay in alignment with God. But in the process, let me tell you something. Anything that God, any standard that God holds us to, he holds himself to. All right? If he say the laborer is worthy of their hire, labor for God. And tell me, I'm what it says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Okay? Labor for God. He will do the God thing for you. He will prove he is God. But this is something that right now that is so critical. You know, I've asked God, I've learned about going without permission the hard way. So I don't go. I want to go some places and say some things. Because I'm seeing it, but again, somebody has been told to do it. And until they all don't do it, and then God will send me. I'll take those missions. I'll go. What they say, you always safe when you're in the will of God. I know this from experience, all right? But he can't do anything. You know, I want to read you something from 1 Samuel. It's one of my favorite scriptures. This is Samuel talking to the children of Israel. After they had been requested, and if I say my English is bad, too bad. I never got an A in English anyway. All right. They didn't ask for a king, you know, and I get the reason, and they, I'm not going to go into all the detail as to why they asked for a king, but they did. Okay. And anyway, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, it says, For the sake of his great name, the Lord Jehovah will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. All right. Amen. If you happen to have a King James Bible or a NIV and you see the word in all capitals, that's the name Jehovah. Actually, it's spelled with an I, but anyway. But the bottom line is, you see, there's a continuity to this. You know, Jesus said, men in Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not get tired of it, because we carry the power. Again, this is God. See, even though this is going to change in life part two, we will have the revelation of the significance of the authority, because when I'm praying, I'm backing down demonic forces. This is how, I mean, this is, it's making changes. And then God can send ministering angels to the person in need of the revelation, like you see in the book of Daniel, so that they'll do what they need to do. God can bring about some changes, but he does it through men. Remember Genesis 1:26, he gave man dominion. So he's not going to do it without man, because he wants us to understand God is omnipresent. Not could he do everything without us? Yes, but see, God got emotions. He loved to be loved. That's, you know what? This is why you see so many blessed women in church. I guess because they just naturally know how to do that. Men, they don't, you know, I remember I got shocked when I started going to church and a brother hugged me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. But women are different. I noticed at our church, we don't have as many male events as they have women events. They have something like once a month. We have something like twice a year, because men just, they ain't like that. That's the part they got cut out when God split Adam, I guess. But God loved to be loved on, and women know that, and that's why he does do that. That's why you should take care of your woman. Take care of her, and God will bless you. I'm telling you, take care of her. Don't hurt her. God might kill you. We're in a dangerous time. It's a lot of folk dead putting their hands on women. All right? But he can't do that. God intentionally wants an alliance with us. He gave us dominion, Genesis 1:26, but he you look at how he hung out with Adam. I mean, he was just joyful, thrilled to be with Adam. He'll do you the same way. I'm telling you, God is... He ain't, as great as he is awesome. He loves a relationship. He loves a relationship. Amen. And we are at the end. I'm going at the speed that the Holy Ghost want me to go. Amen. Because we only got one more to go. We'll get that done next week. Amen. And that will be, you must be in pursuit of the will of God. And we're going to begin with giving you an opportunity to start at step one, and that is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's important. And you really want to do that, because, it, like I say, time now, people are leaving here since I've been on the radio, probably about 150,000 people that left the planet. You know, it ain't about leaving the planet as long as you know where you're going. You know, ain't but two places to go. You can choose, but it's so easy. Listen at this. This is all you have to do. You don't have to theologically analyze it. You just have to believe it. Because I guarantee you, in time, you will begin to see the change within yourself. Now, just say this. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe you are the true and the living God. I believe that men were born in sin because of Adam's sin, and I acknowledge that. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sin. And he was the sacrifice that wiped away our sins if we received it. So I ask for forgiveness, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and I am forgiven. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. The atheists always want to know to say things don't have logic. It don't. It don't have no logic. It's a faith world. It's a faith walk. It's a fervent action and trust in him walk. But anyway, just remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
All I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past. Home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing,
I wanna hear
yeah.
Them.
King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streak, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you ask him, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayer for all of my days until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
Sing and shout, then I.